ladies and gentlemen, let's go. Let's go. We ain't got no time to waste. Let's go. Let's go. You are now listening to Jason Anderson, and you are in the zone.
The Zone is presented by Guarantee Foods, delivering all-natural food to Midwestern families since 1958. Enjoy healthier food, more free time, free delivery, and better value. Go to GuaranteedFoods.com.
I'm on a Friday edition of The Zone right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson with you, Sterling Holmes, Jack Johnson hanging out here. Heading up until 2 o'clock, the next 4 hours we've got you. Boy, a lot of stuff to get into and talk about today. As last night, first round complete in the books. We know what the Kansas City Chiefs have done. We know what the first round looks like. Everybody's got their best available boards and mock drafts for the second round, etc. coming up tonight. And certainly we will talk about all of that, discuss it over the next 4 hours. We'll mix in a little bit of Royals as they win yesterday. Cole Reagans with the complete game, gave up only one run in a complete game. What a great outing for Cole Reagans. I told everybody he was about to turn it around. Complete game, one run. So we will we'll talk about John Schneider and wanting to delay 3.5 hours, the inevitable that his team was going to lose 3 of 4 to the Royals in this series. But the big news being the Kansas City Chiefs last night moving from 32 up to 28 to take their guy, Xavier Worthy, out of Texas, and a lot of reaction from that. Seemed to be a lot more positive than negative that was out there, and a lot of national analysts talking about how the Chiefs were able to pull this off, how the league let the Chiefs get Xavier Worthy, what were they thinking? Those damned Buffalo Bills continue to help the Chiefs make it. First, it started with giving them the ball at the 25-yard line with 13 seconds in the divisional round. Why didn't you squib it? Why didn't you kick it high? How did you possibly kick it to the 25 and allow them to have the two timeouts at the 25-yard line? This is so dumb. It started there. Really, it started in 17 when they traded out of number 10 for Patrick Mahomes to move up. It has been their bugaboo, have been the Chiefs to the Bills. And the Bills do trade with the Chiefs, which I've got a little bit of a different opinion than those than some people do as the Bills move out of that number 28 spot. So we'll talk about that, and we'll go around the room and discuss what we think of the trade and the selection. Sterling, you and I talked a few weeks ago when we were talking about the NFL draft, and we were discussing Xavier Worthy and a 4-2-1. The conversation we had then was, oddly enough, I feel like he is almost viewed as a detriment that he ran a 4-2-1 because people are just looking at the 4-2-1 going, well, he's a burner. He's a speed guy, speed guy. Let's look at all of these other guys that broke the combine record and look how good and how great any of them were. Chris Johnson, CJ2K. And that's it. Oh, my goodness. Look at everybody else. Flame out, flame out, flame out, flame out in the NFL. Not good enough. John Ross. I mean, that's who this Xavier Worthy guy is. If he would have ran like a 4.29 or a 4.30 or something like that, I wonder what the conversation around Xavier Worthy would be. We had that conversation like 3 weeks ago saying people aren't giving nearly enough credit to his route running. People aren't giving nearly enough credit to his ball tracking ability. People aren't giving nearly enough credit to his ability to run a route with pace. Not necessarily, I'm just going to run by you. Like, one of the negatives on him was, well, he's fast. He knows he's fast. Everybody knows he's fast. And he's just going to show you how fast he is by run. No, there's tempo to his routes. There's the pitter-patter of the feet in breaking in and out of cuts. They're setting up other routes. And I'm glad we had that conversation before, because it doesn't feel like then the next day going, oh, they took Xavier Worthy. Oh, no, there's some other good things about him. Let's talk about how great Xavier Worthy is. So I'm glad we had that conversation, because you and I talked about it, and I liked Xavier Worthy. The more I looked at him, the more I watched him, the more I realized myself it wasn't just, he's really fast. Some of these highlights are deep throws there at Texas. And he's going and grabbing, though he's wide open, of course, he's going to catch the ball. One of the highlights that they show all the time was against Alabama. running past Alabama. He's running a post, and then he has to curl up the field and almost catch it like it's Willie Mays over the shoulder, right? That's one of the main highlights you need to watch. That isn't just speed. That's him running as fast as he can and then looking over his shoulder. He's 40 yards down the field, curling it up, tracking the football, catching it almost over his other shoulder in the end zone for a touchdown. Name a Chiefs player on this team right now that would track a football like that. Because I guarantee you McColl ain't doing that. Kadarius ain't catching it. MVS ain't catching it. And Rashee Rice isn't fast enough to get there. So who's doing that on this team? Maybe Hollywood.
Sure.
Who they brought in. But that's sort of the point, is he's not just a burner. He's a guy that does track the ball in the air. And it is such an underrated skill for a guy who has speed, is just your ability to track the ball. Who's the best tracker of the football I think we've seen in the NFL? It's Tyreek Hill, at least to me. Tyreek Hill is brilliant when the ball's in the air. All you got to do is go watch that
Ravens game to me.
Thank you. Yeah. That's the exact one I was coming up with, the fourth down Ravens game when Mahomes throws the ball and Tyreek is like 25 yards to the left of that. And Mahomes sees he's heading that way, and yet he tracks it to where it hits him right between the one and the zero and then continues to run. That is a really, it's a skill that it's sort of like you have it or you don't. You can either, I think that's difficult to coach, because if it was easy to coach, McColl Hardman would have figured it out by year number five in the NFL. Okay, so MVS would have figured it out by now with year however many. What, this is year seven in the NFL. Or, this was year six, four with the Packers, two with the Chiefs. So this is going into year seven. By 6 years in the NFL, MVS would have figured that out by now if it was that easy. So I think he, oddly enough, gets downgraded in the minds of people that don't know much about the overall game of Xavier Worthy in saying, he's fast. We've seen fast guys before, and they haven't turned out to be all that good.
I think, again, this is not the guy I would have drafted, but no one cares about that, and let's be real
now. I want to hear your opinion on, on who you wanted and whether or not this is a good selection in your mind. I mean, it matters.
But whether or not this is the guy that I wanted, I still think Xavier Worthy is going to be a great fit here in Kansas City. I think both aspects can be true, and you're right. The speed almost got as a negative against him, while at times Tyreek Hill had to eventually make that into a positive, because everybody kept saying, oh, he's just a fast guy. And you're like, have you not watched Tyreek Hill?
Tyreek Hill had to prove to everybody he wasn't just a returner.
Yeah.
Because
right?
It was Jalen Ramsey.
Specialist.
Yeah. This guy was a Pro Bowl as a return specialist. A return. Oh, okay. All right. So I'm just a return specialist. And I bet Xavier Worthy's going, okay, so I'm just fast. I can't run routes. I can't come in and out of breaks. I don't set up corners. I don't attack. I don't eat up space and then cut off that when I see the cornerback or the safety turn his hips. Oh, okay.
Well, here we go. 62 receptions his freshman year. 60 his sophomore year. 75 last year. Yards. Averaged over 900 yards a season at Texas, right? His relative age breakout season, which is a very important statistic apparently for success in the NFL, is in the 97th percentile. He broke out and was the guy very young at Texas. We're not talking about a small school. We're talking about the Big 12 here, right? 981 yards, 760, then over 1,000 last year. 26 touchdowns in 3 years. Oh, yeah, and by the way, he played in 12 games, 13 games, and 14 games. So while the size is a concern, while the size should make you at least a little bit nervous, he's been healthy.
Yeah.
Like, I get people wanting to use it as a negative and all that stuff, and I get it. It does make me nervous. But he's not shown any ability to miss games in college. So maybe he's a small dude who stays healthy. Tank Dell stayed healthy besides the unfortunate situation last year. DeSean Jackson, for the most part in his career, stayed relatively healthy. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're going to have injuries when you play that long in the NFL. Devontae Smith, like, yes, he's going to be an outlier based on his size, but there's a lot of reasons to indicate that he is that outlier.
Well, then you and I talked about that at the time, that, hey, it's not a perfect prospect. If it was a perfect prospect, he'd be going in the top five with that speed and everything. So he is skinny. And so that is a concern. You're playing in the NFL. So this is an absolute worry and a concern of mine, is that he is wiry and he's a thinner player, and he's going to have to hold up for hopefully 20 games a year, in which he'll be playing for the Chiefs. Jack?
I really thought at the time when they were trading up that, you know, it was going to be A.D. Mitchell, it was going to be Ladd McConkey.
But you look at somebody like Xavier Worthy. I'm actually not that discouraged about the size. I don't think that it is something that is going to hinder him at this level. And let's all be honest. Last year, the Chiefs were a team that I feel like not only did they lack guys that couldn't catch the football from time to time, they lacked a lot of speed. They lacked a lot of game-changing speed. You bring in Hollywood Brown. He's one of the faster guys in the league. Xavier Worthy, I think when he first ran that 4-2, everybody was freaking out about, he's going to be a Chief. And I thought it was almost too obvious. I'm like, the fastest guy would go to Kansas City. So we were all turning our attention elsewhere. I was like, if they get a wide receiver, it's probably Xavier Leggett, or it's McConkey, or it's A.D. Mitchell. And in the end, it appeared that Brett Veach always wanted speed back and kind of, Legion of Zoom 2.0. He wants to be able to have guys that are not just wide receivers. And maybe that can be seen as a negative, but to me, I think the Chiefs' offense is at its best when you can have guys that can contribute in multiple ways. It's not just the one-on-one guy. It's a guy that can run the screenplay. It's a guy that can run the toss, the jet sweep, stuff like that. And Hollywood, I think, is much more of the wide receiver than Worthy is. But Worthy is kind of a gadget plus guy. Like, I think a gadget player is used as, like, almost derogative now. We use that for Mecole Hardman, Kadarius Toney. Like, the guy that can't really run routes, he can toss in the ball and he's going to run 40 yards. But I do think Xavier Worthy is a good route runner. He can catch the ball. We saw that at Texas, and that's what I think they were more excited about, too, along with the speed, rather than just, he ran a 4-2. He's going to be fast. He's a great punt returner. There are elements to his game that make him an intriguing prospect. And you're exactly right. If he was the perfect prospect, he wouldn't have been there. Yeah. And they felt like probably the Niners were going to take him because they went with, who was it, Pascal?
Pearsall.
Florida. The Florida kid. That, to me, felt like option two. That felt to me like the Niners were going to go Worthy if he was there. That's why the Chiefs needed the trade up.
And we'll play some clips from Brett Veach, and he talked about that. I do wonder, and we'll get into the trade value and everything, because there's so much to talk about, so much takeaway from this, and also where the Chiefs need to go next. What do they address? What other picks and everything like that? I don't prefer them trading up. I mean, we talked. That's why we did the exercise on Wednesday. Was okay. What's the draft board looking like, and what are the spots in which they could trade up?
Shockingly, we never landed on the Bills. Surprisingly,
we did not land on the Bills because we joked about. Well, the Bills aren't even going to answer the phone, and we'll hear Brett Veach weigh in and talk about that. But at the time, like the perfect scenario for me was that Olu Fashanu was there at number 16. Well, he wasn't there. He went in like what, number 11, and so he wasn't available for you to go and select. What did Fashanu went? He went 11 to the Jets because they are really good at picking offensive linemen.
Well, I did say the Jets finally didn't mess up a pick, which I have to give them credit for. But who knows? They might be able to even mess up Fashanu.
Yeah, we'll see if they did or did not actually mess up a pick. But in our exercise when we did that on Wednesday, 16th pick, Fashanu was there. Some of us decided to make the trade. You did not, which is perfectly fine. At number 22, Brian Thomas was still there, which I do think is a bit different than Xavier Worthy. If Brian Thomas is there, then yeah, I'm going to want to trade up and get Brian Thomas at pick number 22. We decided not to do that because of what it took to get up there and the other players that were still available. But what we didn't mention at that time was Xavier Worthy was gone right after Brian Thomas. So he was gone at like 23 or 24. So we didn't even discuss, hold on, do you trade up to 25 or 23 to get Xavier Worthy? Well, we just said no at 22 for Brian Thomas. So I think I'm going to say no to 23 to Xavier Worthy. So when we sat back and then it was, okay, A.D. Mitchell's available at 27. You got to trade above the Bills. Do we do that? Probably not. We're going to stand there at number 32 and see who's available. Ladd McConkey was available. Xavier Leggett was available. Kingsley Suamataia, Tyler Guyton, the different choices that we had sitting there at 32. But again, we didn't discuss Xavier Worthy because he was gone in this particular exercise at pick 23, right after Brian Thomas. And it was like, okay, maybe here comes the run on wide receivers. The trade up to 28 is one of the things that I think people are having trouble getting fully around the Xavier Worthy pick.
Sure.
Is if he's there at 32, and I think that's a little bit of your trepidation,
that,
too.
That was my initial until
the size and the trade-up.
Correct.
So Brett Veach had mentioned it a number of times, and again, we'll play some Brett Veach clips, that they moved back 38 spots. So what we did was move back 38 spots. Well, they moved up four to move back 38. It is the equivalent when you use the draft value chart of the Chiefs moving up four spots and in the first round and moving back 38 spots from the third to the fourth. It's the equivalent of a early to mid sixth round draft pick.
Sure.
Is what they would have given up. If we go by that.
Correct.
You can look at it different ways. Wow, the Chiefs only have one more pick in the top 100. That's certainly one way of viewing it. Chiefs only have one more pick tonight. Definitely a way of viewing it. They now have two fourth rounders. Okay, so starting on Saturday morning, there'll be some players early on. And if they want a cornerback, well, hell, take one in the fourth round. They're good at finding cornerbacks in the fourth. Yeah. That's what Brett Veach is doing. We need a cornerback. Let's get fourth rounders.
We don't want third. We don't want third. We want fourth.
What are you, dumb? You don't take cornerbacks in the third round, you jackass. You take them in the fourth round. Everybody knows cornerbacks go in the fourth round. But you move up to take them at number 28. And if this was the guy that the Chiefs looked at and said, he's the difference maker, this is the fifth best receiver in this draft, clearly that's how they felt.
Sure.
Because the three went early, then Brian Thomas, and the Bills had their pick of the fifth best receiver when we thought seven, maybe eight receivers will go in the first round, and seven receivers did end up going in the first round. But we thought, seven, eight receivers may go in the first round, and the Bills absolutely want a receiver. If you want one, there's somebody there you got to trade above the Bills. Got to trade ahead of the Bills to get that guy. And the Chiefs clearly felt like this was the difference maker. He was the fifth best receiver on the board. My view last night was sort of, and I know that it's not as simple as this trade-off, but there is perspective to the whole thing. It does suck that the Chiefs had to give up the equivalent of the sixth round value to move up and get him. But it also wouldn't have been better for them to lose in the divisional round and be sitting at 28 and take him without having to trade up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, this is the success tax that you're sitting there at 32. The board falls the way that it does. We'll hear Brett Veach talk about tackles that they thought may have fallen and him saying, the board, the way that we had a number of guys and they weren't there.
Sure.
And I'm thinking that when the Bengals took Amarius Mims, their tackle proposition and trading was off the board. Now what's the next route? Let's see wide receivers. Okay, Brian Thomas, Xavier Worthy. Let's see. It's getting closer. Do we move up here for Xavier Worthy? Okay, no. Do we move up here for Xavier Worthy? Okay, no. Do we move up here for... All right, let's do it. It's close enough. Yeah. The value's there. Let's go get them because we're picking 32. You could have picked 28. I would just rather them give up the equivalent value of a sixth rounder while putting on a ring in a month at the ring ceremony.
I think my trepidation at first was the trade before I knew what was actually given up.
For sure.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
When you see trade with the Bills, my thought is, oh my gosh, they had to have paid out the nose for this. And then
you
realize the Bills apparently thought they only had 13 seconds to make a decision. And they go, shoot, well, it's the Chiefs. Maybe they're being nice to us for once. It's like when you get picked on and the bully's finally nice for you one time. It's like, oh, yeah, I'll help you out, guy.
Yeah,
I'll
cool.
do your homework for you. I'm sure this will never backfire. And so the Bills did the Chiefs' homework, and the Chiefs trade up. They get their guy. I think the process is good here. Again, if it's not even my pick, I can still have no fault with the process based on what was given up. The Bills wanted the ability to draft at 32 for the first time ever, and they still said, you know what? No, too much pressure. We can't do this. This does not feel right. So they trade back again because it was too much pressure for them.
No.
The Bills couldn't draft at 32.
It's like when I used to always say, I'm not going to go to a Super Bowl and watch the game until the Chiefs play there. We're not going to pick a 32 until we've earned it. Okay, we traded back to 32, but damn it, we will not take this pick. Anybody want to trade up with us? Anybody want to get up? Okay, great. Thank you, Panthers. We're not picking at 32 unless we earn it. But for a second, they were about to realize and have an experience of picking 32nd, which is a really cool deal.
I almost think at this point, if you're Buffalo, they're going to take a wide receiver today. I mean, they felt like when they were trading back, probably mm-hmm. when they got to Carolina, it's Carolina's going up and they're still going to take a guy, probably mm-hmm. a wide receiver, and they took Leggett. But maybe that wasn't who Buffalo wanted.
You're all choked up about this.
Allergies are bad for me, man. I don't know. It comes out of nowhere. But anyways, what I was going to say is the bad thing for Buffalo, as good as the process is, as Sterling brought up, I mean, you're getting extra picks here. You traded out twice. So you got Carolina to move up. You got Kansas City to move up. Here's the thing, though. If Xavier Worthy is good, you contributed to that. Right? That, to me, I think is the problem for Buffalo.
McDuffie 2.0.
Yeah, and whoever you take here today has to work out. The pressure then goes on Buffalo if they take McConkey, if they take A.D. Mitchell. Well, if A.D. Mitchell or McConkey doesn't work out, we're just playing hypotheticals here, and Xavier Worthy does. You directly contributed to getting your biggest rival, the team you can't beat, the mountain to climb, another weapon in that offense. Whereas maybe if they didn't trade up, they said, we're not trading with you, and they took who they wanted to. Or maybe they traded with somebody else. Maybe San Francisco takes Xavier Worthy, and the Chiefs rightfully pissed and go, that was the guy we wanted to take, and now we have to trade. I'm sure if Xavier Worthy was taken or 28 or 31, they're trading out. Yeah, I don't think they stay at 32 and take just whoever option B or option C was. That's why I think this trade for Buffalo is going to be seen in a negative light, because it kind of feels like, just by the nature of it, Xavier Worthy is going to work out at least to an extent. You feel like he is going to have some sort of role in this offense. And if he does, Buffalo once again has contributed to Kansas City's success.
Right, and how big of a gap was it from receiver 5 to 6 for the Chiefs? It was big enough to where they didn't want to be sitting there and say, we get our choice of pick 6 if Xavier Worthy is gone. You know, Xavier Worthy's gone. Those are the top 5. Well, we'll be here at 32, and we'll take whoever's there. We got all these other receivers. I think in their mind, there was a difference between the top 4, maybe 5, and then after that, whether it be 80, or at least for them.
Yes.
And what he does for them, there was a difference between 5 and 6 to where Pearsall or Leggett or A.D. Mitchell or Ladd McConkey, that Xavier Worthy was there. There was a gap, and then others, because you don't trade up from 32 to 28 if you feel like, well, Worthy and McConkey and Pearsall and Leggett, they're all sort of, and A.D. Mitchell, they're all sort of the same thing, and we're 4 picks away. We'll get one of these guys? Hell yeah, we're good. And even if there's like a couple of them left and Carolina wants to trade up, boom, we can trade back. This is awesome. It's clearly a difference in their mind from the wide receiver 5 to wide receiver 6.
There was a difference for the Chiefs, but not for the Bills.
Agreed, agreed.
And I think if you are a Bills fan, you can talk yourself into this making sense. Because we, as Chiefs fans, we said if they trade back, we'd be mad and gathered some more draft capital. The issue was what they gathered, what they acquired. It was not enough to make it seem like they had to pay the AFC rival tax. If you're the Buffalo Bills, by the way, this is also a step of, we understand we need more than just one guy.
Yeah.
We need more draft picks. We need top 100 draft picks. We have more than just one guy we need to make this team into a contender. Josh Allen's great. But you look at the rest of that roster, and it is not good. They are devoid of talent. So for them, they trade it back. They trade it back again. Mm-hmm. They're acquiring more talent. They're probably going to get at least a wide receiver that they like. So if you are a Bills fan, you can like their process. Again, we won't know how the results play out, but I think the Bills process is fine in its own right.
Yeah, and they looked at it and said it's okay to move back 4 spots if it means that they were going to be able to move up, 38 spots or whatever it was from the 4th round to the 3rd round and be able to draft on a Friday night. Can we play the clip real quick? This is what happened with, so after the draft or the trade went through and it was made official, this was the phone call, the end of the phone call from Brett Veach and the Bills. The Chiefs released it because it's good for the Chiefs. But the end of the phone call with Brett Veach and the Bills after they agreed to the trade. It's odd that they would release that audio, but, I mean, it totally makes sense that they would release that audio. The trade had already gone through, and then that's when Brett Veach turned heel.
You had me there. You had me there. I actually thought there was real audio.
You think Brett Veach
What are you talking about, Jack? That was real. You don't think that was real audio? It sounded like audio to me.
It was.
I've got ears. That sounded like it came through the radio just fine. I don't know.
Brett Veach sounds a little different.
Well, that was heel Brett Veach.
Ah.
That was villain Brett Veach. Brett Veach
changed his voice on phone Brett calls. Veach
was like, hey, you know, what do you think about 32, 28? This is what we can give up to move up to 20. Okay, great. Yeah, great doing. You know you missed it, right? You know you don't mess up, right?
Bows and toes, Pledge Bean. Come on, bows and toes.
What I'm saying is that the Chiefs to the rest of the league have been a menace to society. All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson with you, Sterling Holmes, Jack Johnson, Kyle Collier heading up until 2. We will talk with Matt Derrick at 11 o'clock. Mick Schaefer will join us in the noon hour. And we'll get some cuts before the show is over right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We'll hear from Brett Veach and Andy Reid with their press conference last night after the selection of Xavier Worthy at pick number 28. I want to hear this, a couple of quick breakdowns. Let's hear the NFL Network after the draft pick was made. The NFL Network, Daniel Jeremiah, breaking down what Xavier Worthy, who he is as a prospect, what he brings to the table for the Chiefs.
4-2-1, all-time great in terms of that number, and watch how fast he is on a field of fast players at Alabama. This is the game that jumped out to me. The ability to get down the field, track the ball over your shoulder, almost like Willie Mays, then also be able to run routes. This is where the DeSean Jackson comparison and the Tank Dell comparison, undersized, explosive players, but they're also excellent route runners. And Worthy has the toughness. That shows up with the ball in his hands. It also shows up as a returner. Don't forget also, you've got the connection. Andy Reid, BYU, Steve Sarkisian, they are very close. He will know everything about this kid that he's bringing into his building.
I just think about the creativity as well in the play calling. And Kurt, for me, if I'm a quarterback and I've got that speed and Andy Reid calling plays, Patrick Mahomes has got to be happy with that speed and creativity that they're going to have offensively.
There's so many things that I think he can create for the Chiefs, and obviously what he can do as a speed merchant and things like that. It is not all roses and sunshine when it comes to the scouts' view and the breakdown. I'm a big fan of Nate Tice and the Beast at The Athletic.
He's great.
And Nate Tice, not necessarily a fan of the selection of Xavier Worthy that high and giving up that draft pick. He said, overall, Worthy doesn't have ideal size, toughness, or play strength, but his dynamic speed and playmaking instincts make him a threat as both a wide receiver and return man. He doesn't have the body of work of DeSean Jackson, but he teases similar flashes. He had him as a second-round grade for Xavier Worthy. Receivers he had above him were Ricky Pearsall. He had Roman Wilson ahead of Xavier Worthy. He had Keon Coleman ahead of Xavier Worthy. He had A.D. Mitchell. Mm-hmm. He had Ladd McConkey. Wow. Those are all receivers that are still there. And I totally respect Nate Tice in his opinion. KCSN, their draft guide, talking about, the things that he does well and how much of a fit he is, the comparison to Sean Jackson. Seth Kizer loves the pick. Sure. Going through all the breakdown of Xavier Worthy, of what he can do. And it's one of the things that we talked about to start the show is, to me, he's not just a speed guy. He's a guy that has really good route running. He's a guy that can make some plays, can separate and do some things like that. I'm going to play one more breakdown, and then we'll get into some other conversations, too, about Xavier Worthy. But we have Sam Monson on the show quite frequently from Pro Football Focus, one of our favorites that we talk to. And we're not playing this just because he's overly positive about Xavier Worthy. It's also because I respect Sam Monson's opinion as well. That's why we have him on. But this is a live reaction. As soon as they found out Xavier Worthy was the pick, here's Pro Football Focus's show last night. And the voice you'll hear mainly is Sam Monson.
I would now be absolutely petrified if I was Buffalo.
I cannot believe they just did this.
Xavier Worthy is more than just 4-2-1, right? That's what he's being known as right now. The fastest guy ever to run at the combine.
I can't believe
the new
Buffalo
record holder.
Did this.
He is so much more than that when you watch his tape. He's actually got route running chops and the ability to separate beyond just running past people. He's stronger than he looks. Like, he weighed, one of the biggest concerning things, he weighed like 165 pounds at the combine to run the 4-2-1. But he'll like attack weak shoulders and try and run his way through defenders and get a couple of yards at the end of it as well. He is really good. Like, I felt a little bit like there was some Jordan Addison to his tape as well, except 0.4 seconds faster in the 40. I would be terrified of what the Buffalo Bills just allowed Kansas City to do.
Man. You know who ranked last year? 20-plus yard throws. Do you know who ranks 38th in the NFL among quarterbacks in passer rating?
Is it Patrick Mahomes?
It was Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes was 38th on 20-plus yard throws.
Passer rating doesn't take into effect drop balls.
Yes.
Doesn't take into effect the inability to track the ball in the air like we saw Mecole Hardman do a couple of times in the playoffs. It doesn't take that into account and go, well, we're actually going to give him that reception there. We're going to give him that completion because that should have been a complete. That was a catchable pass. It doesn't take that into account if you're just looking at raw passer rating. Some other grades do. PFF and their grading system, individual plays may do that. But just strictly old school passer rating does not do that. 20-plus yard throws 38th in the NFL last year was Patrick Mahomes. And it makes sense because you were throwing to MVS down the field, and that was really it. Like, you didn't have another, and Justin Watson, somebody that really could be game-breaking speed. And now, you've got guys that, you know, have amazing speed. Hollywood Brown ran a 4.27 at the draft. Xavier Worthy ran a 4.21. And Rashee Rice goes as fast as 119 miles an hour. You've got speed to burn with the Chiefs. Go ahead, Sterling. You were going to say something earlier.
I apologize for that joke. No, I'm kidding.
His eyes were closing.
They were already closed before
I
got there.
I knew where you were going with that. And the second I heard Rashee, I go, oh, no. I know where this is heading. It's not good. It's not good.
It wasn't good, no.
He's probably running away from that joke. Yeah. I think a lot of the concern from fans, and I was there originally, because this does feel very Chief. Get a guy who runs very fast, does have a little bit of that gadget style in him. You reminisce about Mecole Hardman instead of DK Metcalf. You reminisce about, Kadarius Toney, but what has he actually been? You go back to guys like DeAnthony Thomas, and you're sitting here going, like, how many of these do you have to go through? Ugh. But what I will say is, this guy has way more production in college than any of those guys. He's been healthier than any of those guys. Like, Mecole Hardman averaged, I think, under 500 yards a season as a receiver at Georgia.
And he was so raw coming out, too. Mecole Hardman, one of the issues was raw, hasn't played wide receiver much because he was a defensive back in high school, was scouted as a defensive back, was recruited as a defensive back, turned to wide receiver, has a large learning curve of route running and playing the receiver position. That's not Xavier Worthy. I mean, he stepped onto the field as a freshman at 18 years old at Texas and had almost 1,000 yards receiving at Texas.
And that's kind of my point is, while I think a lot of folks, and again, myself included, when it originally was announced, I thought, oh my gosh, they're just going after this exact same archetype of just a fast burner. And then you dive deeper and you go, this is a completely different player. It's the same thing where if you go, I'm never drafting an Ohio State quarterback, right? That was the knock. Then you don't get C.J. Stroud. If you tell the Chiefs you're never going to draft another guy who's undersized, who's small, but who's very fast ever again because of the previous dudes they've drafted, well, then you're going to miss out on the Tank Dells, the DeSean Jacksons, and hopefully Xavier Worthy.
So what do we think about the Bills? So I've got a little bit of a different opinion on the Bills than the jokes are fun, you know, because I was with everybody, and we joked yesterday that the Bills won't even answer the phone. Like, you call the Bills and they'll just immediately hang up. Bill Belichick told the story last night on the Pat McAfee show that we may play today if we have time, of him calling Randy Moss to tell him that they just traded for him. And he was like, Randy, Coach Belichick. Click. The hell? Hey, Randy, Coach Belichick, stop pranking me. Click. Randy, this is Coach Belichick. Who is this? Who is calling me? This is Bill Belichick. We just traded for you. Oh, really? Oh, my bad, coach. He hung up on him twice because he thought he was being pranked, right? The Bills, you know, hey, it's Brett Veach. Click. Hey, Brandon, it's Veach. Click. I'm not answering the 913-816, wherever the draft war room is. Not answering it, man. Not happening. But while the jokes are there and why would the Buffalo Bills help out the Chiefs, I give the Bills credit because I have said for a long time, I think it is dumb for a team to go, well, we're not going to help that team, even though it would help us. You got to focus on yourself first. And I will give the credit to the Bills that they said, I don't give a bleep if it helps the Chiefs. It helps us. And we have to build our team before we even get a chance to face off against the Chiefs. And we've got needs in many different spots, and it is better for us to now move back into the third round. Now we have two third rounders. We can maneuver the draft board. They have two second rounders, and they got four picks tonight. The Bills do. Two second-rounders. Now, they didn't have one last night, but they've got two second-rounders, two third-rounders coming up tonight. And they've got two fifths and a couple of sixths. Like, they are collecting a lot of draft picks because they are trying to do what the Chiefs did 2 years ago. They are trying to say, we're going to have a draft class that we're going to have volume of players, and we're going to get a number of them right. We're going to miss, but we're going to get a number of them right. And to have the stones to trade again with the Chiefs and go, oh, the league's going to be pissed at us, but we don't care. Oh, you just helped the Chiefs get Xavier Worthy. Yeah, and they helped us get better. Yeah. So I don't care about that. So I do give the Bills credit for that because it would have been so easy to go, yeah, sorry, Brett, we're not trading with you. we'll trade with somebody else. We're not trading with you. And then just stay put and take a receiver. When if they didn't view Xavier Woods. Also, I do wonder this. Were the Bills convinced the Chiefs were trading up to take a receiver? Or did they think they were trading up to get a tackle? Like, was there a
Guyton.
Part? Was there a part of the Bills that thought, well, they want a tackle. They just got Hollywood Brown. They're not going to trade up to get a wide receiver when there's six guys available right now.
Yeah.
We're good. Xavier Worthy. Mother bleeper! What in the hell? I thought you were going tackle.
It's an illusion, Jason.
That's right.
It's an illusion.
Everything's over there.
I almost think that it's always going to be mocked because Patrick Mahomes was involved in one of the most famous trades in NFL history. And honestly, we talked about this on the break. The Bills did get talent in that trade, but it wasn't Patrick Mahomes' talent, right? And maybe if we go back in time and Kansas City loses this in the last playoff game against Buffalo, we don't make too much fun of this because Buffalo had at least conquered their demon once. But it kind of feels like, you know, when you go into the mall and there's kind of the salespeople that sit in the middle and they'll come up to you when you're not expecting it. They'll keep you like sidetracked for like 10 minutes. And eventually you're like, okay, fine. I'll take the pamphlet. I'll sign up for whatever. I'll sign up for a gym membership. Well, that's kind of what this felt like. Like, I know I've been wronged by you before. This never works out well for me. But maybe I'll just do this anyway, right? It's like, I think they got better. Yeah, it's something like that where, you know, they
could
get...
You sold them a new phone case?
Yes, it just kind of feels like this is the team that, in the back of your mind, you got to be going, we did get better, we got more picks, but even if this guy works out, let's say they take A.D. Mitchell with their first pick today, and A.D. Mitchell's fine. What if Xavier Worthy's really good?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, we feel good about A.D. Mitchell, but we gave our biggest competitor another weapon. That's what I was trying to get at in the first segment today.
And it could be something to where you go into the AFC Championship game and Xavier Worthy has a big game, and it's like, see, the Bills, look what you did.
Yep.
The Bills might look at it and go, we wouldn't be here if we didn't have the collection of draft picks that we got by trading back. Yes, Xavier Worthy was a great player in this game. Look what A.D. Mitchell did. Look what Jalen Polk did for us in this game. Yeah, we ended up losing, but all these different players that we have based on that offseason is why we were here to begin with. I think the simplistic way might be, Xavier Worthy, you guys lost that one, right? And their view is, we got to get better ourselves before we even worry about trying to catch the Chiefs. Because, yeah, we lost to him in the divisional round, and we lost to him last year in the divisional round. Clearly, we're not there. Okay, so... if we don't get better, they got better this offseason. They got Hollywood Brown. We lost Stephon Diggs. We're losing players. We're going backwards. They're going forward. Do we really care how much forward they go already? They're already a step or two ahead of us right now.
Well, this almost...
if I'm the Bengals or the AFC West, I'm pissed at the Bills. If I'm the Bills, I'm worried about myself.
Little different because the Steelers weren't necessarily in, I don't think, direct competition with the Chiefs. I mean, I'm still AFC, obviously. The Steelers always like to pretend they're still in competition with the Chiefs. But it feels a little Sky Moore, George Pickens, right? A little bit?
Yeah.
Where okay, in that situation, though, the Bills were the, right? Let's just say Xavier Worthy turns into the stud, and then all of a sudden, whoever the Bills draft is, you're going, well, you could have had Xavier Worthy, but you didn't.
Yeah.
It feels almost like the Chiefs said, we're not doing this again. This time, we're the team trading up for our guy. We're getting our wide receiver, even if there were three or four guys still on the board that the Chiefs could have gone with at wide receiver. Maybe this is Brett Veach learning a lesson here.
Well, this is also, I like what you said, it was either earlier this segment or the one before that, was this was kind of the admittance, if you will, of we're not one player away, we're multiple players away. And that is, I think, what this third loss to Kansas City did, because that was, I wouldn't say the team of destiny for Buffalo, but they had finally gotten the Chiefs to Orchard Park, they had brought them to Buffalo, conditions were on their side, you had a weaker offensive Kansas City Chiefs team, and this Buffalo team still blew it. So you lose Diggs, right? So now that wide receiver core, I think, has Shakir, and that's about it at this point. Like Gabe Davis no longer there.
Right.
Diggs is in Houston. So it's not a, well, we stay at 28, we take Xavier Worthy. Xavier Worthy doesn't fix Buffalo. The multiple picks after this does give them a better chance, but I think it's almost this message now of we're not going to be that top alpha team this year. Our hope is we still have a really good team, but it's not a do or die scenario. We hope that we can extend this window as long as possible to eventually win. Maybe we don't have to worry about playing Kansas City in the playoffs. They're bounced before we even get to them.
Well, with their four picks tonight, if they end up with two wide receivers, a defensive lineman, and a safety, you know, maybe you're feeling different about Buffalo going, okay, you know, we got A.D. Mitchell, Jalen Polk, we got a defensive lineman and a safety in the third round, and now we've replaced a couple of guys, and we got deeper at a defensive line position that was so ravaged by injury last year. We lost our booking awesome, you know, safety tandem that was one of the best in the league. Both those guys are gone. We got to replenish that, and obviously the wide receiver has to be rebuilt. Okay, we got two wide receivers now that we feel like can grow with Josh Allen, and we took our Dalton Kincaid last year as a tight end.
Yeah.
So now we've got three guys to go along with Josh Allen offensively. We've got our running back that we feel like had a breakout season last year.
Sure.
Now we got to worry about attacking the defense the rest of the draft and in the next year, the year after that. That would be the way that if I'm the Bills and certainly that they would be looking at it, not I hope the Chiefs. This is about helping us. We'll take a timeout, come back, wrap up this hour next.
All right, wrapping up the sound, we'll talk with Matt Derrick coming up at 11 o'clock. Thank you, Jack. I know you got other work to do, some more hats to wear, things like that. Appreciate you, brother.
I always love coming on, and on Monday, these allergies can be fixed. No more phlegm in the throat.
That's good. That's good. Letter grade for Xavier Worthy, you give it, what, an X?
That was complete in elementary school, wasn't it? X on the thing. I'll go B plus for real, but X if I have to.
There you go. They finally found their X receiver, did the Chiefs, with Xavier Worthy. We'll talk some more about that. Matt Derrick, Chiefs Digest 41 is the Mike podcast. We'll talk with him on the other side of the break in the 11 o'clock hour, get his thoughts on what he thinks of this pick, the trade, who's still on the board, positions that they can go and address and attack, etc. We'll do that with Matt Derrick coming up next right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.